Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boy, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. Heavyweight Alexander Povietkin and David Price will square off in a 12-round bout on March 31st on the undercard of the Anthony Joshua Joseph Parker Heavyweight World Title Unification Fight at Principality Stadium in Cardiff, Wales. In a 7-month span in 2016, Russia's Povietkin twice tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, which canceled fights against both Deontay Wilder and Bermain Stiverne. Ricky Fowler and Bryson DeChambeau both shot a 5-under 66 yesterday to share the leaderboard at 10-under in the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Defending champion Hideki Matsuyama withdrew with a wrist injury after shooting a 2-under 69 in round one. And forward Bobby Ryan will not play in back-to-back games this weekend for the Ottawa Senators when they face off against the Philadelphia Flyers and the Montreal Canadiens. He suffered a hand injury in their game Thursday with the Ducks. After missing practice on Friday, head coach Guy Boucher said he would be reevaluated on Monday, but it seems unlikely that he will start next week against New Jersey and Nashville. Today we have Matt Reed, Steve Clark, and Jeff Klein. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get loud and let's get proud. We got a game.
Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, always feeling dandy out in Oakland, California. Matt Reed, welcome, Matt.
Hey, Clayton, good to be here.
Good to talk to you, my man. How you doing today?
Fantastic. Beautiful morning up here.
Yeah.
Be better.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning, too. I don't know if you saw, but yesterday the groundhog saw his shadow, which means 6 more weeks of 70 degrees here in fabulous Las Vegas.
Yeah, who's really complaining out here on the West Coast, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not me in the slightest. The only complaint I have was that the Vegas Golden Knights crapped the bed last night in Minnesota. They dropped one 5-2 after two glorious games in Calgary and Winnipeg. They cannot get it done on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, it's always tough on the second night of a back-to-back, and you know there's going to be a couple losses here and there, but I mean the fact that they're still rolling, and you know we're into the second half now. This is getting excited for playoffs, right?
Exactly, and in game number 50, they broke the record for the most wins by a NHL team in their very first year with 34 wins, breaking the record by the Florida Panthers, and they said they did it in game number 50.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? I mean, they're setting the standard for any other expansion team that's ever going to come along.
That's right. Watch out, Seattle, whether you're the Emeralds or the Kraken. How do you like that? The Seattle Kraken. Love that.
The Seattle Kraken.
That's a finalist on the list. The Emeralds, the Kraken, the Totems. Yeah.
The Kraken, the Totems. Yeah.
The Seagulls. Yeah. I know. They should just be the Sea Chickens, like the football team. You know, Matt, there is a professional tackle football game to be played this weekend, Super Bowl LII, or as we out here in Las Vegas call it, the Championship of Professional Football, or the Big Game, because of trademark and copyright infringement. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, of course. You know, maybe not as much excitement as past years. You know, we've seen plenty of New England, and if it was Wentz Brady, I think there'd be a little more excitement. But it's the Super Bowl or the big game, whatever you call it. It's gonna be fun. Hopefully the game will be close and entertaining.
Being the former New Yorker I am, I have a hard time getting excited for either Boston or Philadelphia. That's why we got to go out to the hills of Tennessee and bring in our football guy, Steve Clark, to tell me why I need to get excited about Sunday. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Certainly not enjoying the 70-degree weather you guys have. We get six more weeks of 25 degrees and possible snow later this week.
That's
so
why
you guys want to send some of that sunshine this way, we'll take it.
That's why you need to be out here, Steve. I could break out the grill for you.
The weather's not going to stop me from breaking out the grill. You can count on that.
Is that what's on the menu tomorrow? You got the Cornish game hen, the baby back ribs on the grill?
No, we're going to do some finger foods, the old classic little smokies and some meatballs and some hoagie sandwiches, chips and dips, and there may or may not be an adult beverage in there.
Nice. Nice. I'm going to wake up at 6:30, and I'm going to go to Parkway Tavern here in Henderson and get ready for the Golden Knights and the Washington Capitals. We got a pregame at 9 o'clock, puck drop at 9:30. Going to have some Eggs Benedict and watch hockey in the morning and do that until time for kickoff.
It sounds like a great plan. A little hockey in the morning, a little football in the afternoon.
Yeah, it sounds good. So anybody in town want to come out and you're worried about getting a seat for the big game, come out early, watch the hockey game, stay all day, Parkway Tavern in Henderson. Come say hi to Frank and I. So let's get into this big game, the old Super Bowl. And Steve, we will start with you. What are your impressions as Philadelphia, without Carson Wentz, rides Nick Foles into Minneapolis?
Wow, how impressive has Nick Foles been? Last week against Minnesota, he was just absolutely fabulous. Didn't turn the ball over, threw him a couple of touchdowns. You know, Philly fans have got to be really excited about the job that Foles has done stepping in for Wentz. The big consensus was that Philly season was over when Wentz went down, but you know, Nick Foles has really stepped up and given Philly fans something to hang their hats on.
They have, and you think about this, Matt, going into one, it's hard to believe that the Eagles don't have a Super Bowl championship when you think about storied franchises in the NFL and teams that are always on TV, and you think about Philly and they're 0-2. But for them to finally get here and then have to hope that Nick Foles can provide yet another miracle for them, is it too much?
No, I don't think it is, and I think, you know, Doug Peterson is really – really, you know, added an element to this team over the last couple of years of stability, and I think his play calling has been really good. If you see, especially early in the game, if you watch Philadelphia, they seem to be very well prepared, and they kind of attack teams early. And if we've seen Nick Foles over the last couple of weeks, I think he's improved, and especially, you know, we're going to hear run-pass option a lot on Sunday because Philadelphia runs a ton of it, but really they've been very successful using it. And I think, you know, for Foles, as long as he doesn't make, you know, a couple big mistakes, you know, I see him throwing at least one pick, but as long as he doesn't try to do too much and just stays in the flow of the game, I think Philadelphia has a great chance with Foles.
There's a lot of money coming in on the Philadelphia Eagles, Steve. This game was a 5.5-ish when it opened, 5. Now it's 4.5. A lot of people believe in the Eagles, or a lot of people maybe just believe that New England likes to play close Super Bowls.
That may be the case with New England. You know, they've had to struggle a little bit this season, come back a little bit. They had to do it against Jacksonville. You know, I think Philly, you know, as much as I hate to say it because everybody knows I love me some TB12 and some Patriots, but I'm a little worried going into this game. I think Philly has a really good shot to keep this game really close, and if they can find a way to have the ball last in the game, Philly could win their first NFL championship. But it's going to depend a lot on that defense that that Philadelphia has, especially that front four. They're going to need to be rotating those defensive ends out. You know, Brandon Graham, Chris Long, the rookie out of the University of Tennessee here, Derek Barnett, and Vince Curry. They're going to be the ones that have to put some pressure on Tom Brady. because if you start bringing blitzes, you're going to open up some gaps for him behind it, and he'll eat you alive.
Those Eagles, Matt, 31 takeaways during the regular season. That's fourth in the NFL. They trailed only Jacksonville with five defensive TDs this year. So if this becomes a shootout, looks like Philly's in trouble.
Yeah, if it becomes a shootout, they're in a little bit of trouble because, you know, the defense has been good this year. What they do really well is they stop the run. So, you know, first and foremost, you have Fletcher Cox right in the middle there. I think that kind of plugs everything up. Like Steve said, they're going to want to start, you know, they do a good job of getting linemen, you know, in and out of the game so they stay fresh. But I think what we're going to see from New England is a lot of hurry up. And I think where Philadelphia has struggled a lot this year, if you watch in the games that teams have run a hurry up offense against them, they aren't able to get those substitutions in. And then the front four wears down and they're not able to get the pressure on the quarterback. And then, you know, Brady's going to sit back there and have a chance to pick that secondary apart. So that's really going to be, I think, the pace of the game is going to have a lot to do with it. So if Philadelphia can control the football a little bit and, you know, keep Brady off the field, that's going to be their best bet, because I think we're going to see New England in a lot of hurry up, go right from the get-go and really, you know, putting the pressure on them early. So, you know, so many different angles in this game and you know, we always talk about the turnover battle. Whoever wins the turnover battle, I think, really has a big edge in this game.
I think there's a lot to that whole pace scenario of it, Matt, like you had said. And, Steve, when you look at the running back by committee that the Eagles are going to run out, and you see LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement, are they gonna share the load, or do you see one of those guys having an Otis Anderson breakout Super Bowl where one guy becomes the man?
If it's going to be one guy, it's going to be LeGarrette Blount. He's got a little something to prove. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. You know, New England's his former team. He set franchise records last year for rushing touchdowns. But, they're going to stick with what's got them to this point. You know, I think you're going to see a good mix of all of them. But, and Matt mentioned about the hurry-up, you know, Philly wanting to switch out their defensive linemen so much. There's nobody better in the league that catching you with 12 men on the field and in the middle of a switch than Tom Brady. So I think both sides, they're going to want to swap some people out. But, Blount could have a big game, and I think it would be deserving because, you know, he's done a lot, and he's a good player.
Any thought that Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia, Matt, are looking ahead to their new jobs?
Nah, this is Super Bowl, and when you're working with Bill Belichick, I think the last thing you're doing is looking ahead. I mean, they'll have plenty of time to look ahead after this game. So this is really their legacy. This is kind of the dynasty as far as the coaching staff coming to an end. So they're going to give everything they have for this game, and I don't see any issues with the look ahead with either side, with Patricia or McDaniels.
Steve, a team that is looking ahead, the Washington Redskins, they've had quarterback questions over the past couple of years. They said, we don't need Kirk Cousins, who half of our fan base doesn't think can play quarterback. We're going to go get Alex Smith, who half of our fan base doesn't think can play quarterback.
Well, you know, I mean, they've traded six for half a dozen of the other.
In
this case, except maybe the half dozen of the other is a little bit older. You know, Alex Smith's going to be 34 when the season starts, and Cousins is going to be 30. But, Smith knew he was on his way out at Kansas City. They're prepping for Patrick Mahomes to take the helm there. And really, it was a great trade for Washington, and they were able to get a long-term deal done with Smith that they couldn't ever get done with Cousins. If they were going to keep Cousins and franchise him again next year, they were going to have to pay him $34.5 million. But, they're going to end up getting rid of him, moving him on, and they're only going to have to pay Smith $22.2 million a year on a five-year, $111 million deal with $17 million guaranteed. So, I think it was a really good move for the Redskins and a really good move for Smith as well, because, you know, his time in Kansas City was really limited.
What was surprising to me about this whole thing, Steve, was the extension, because they seem to be unwilling to commit long-term to Kirk Cousins, but with the 4-year contract extension with Smith over the life of it. That's $70 million guaranteed over the life of it. That's a lot of money for Alex Smith at his age and his productivity level.
Yeah, it is. And it does baffle me that why the Redskins couldn't have gotten this deal done with Cousins. You know, back in 2015, you know, they were real close to getting a deal done, but they never got it. And they haven't been close ever since. And I'm just kind of wondering what Cousins and his agent were asking for if $70 million over 5 years wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you wonder where he's going to land. But Washington, Matt, they have a real good track record of taking Andy Reid's garbage. I mean, look at what they did with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, exactly, right? I like Alex Smith. I think he manages the game well, and when he gets in a kind of a groove, he makes plays, especially with his feet, that a lot of other quarterbacks might not be able to make. And when you look at this league, there are very few elite quarterbacks, but there are also very few good and serviceable quarterbacks. We see a lot of teams with quarterback issues, and you can just look at the Cleveland Browns, how many quarterbacks they've been through. I mean, think, they haven't gotten a quarterback right since Bernie Kosar. So it just goes to show how you need a guy, and Smith has that proven track record, and it's a lot of money to give up, and I think Cousins is a better quarterback, but I think after the road they've been down with, you know, signing him, not signing this, that, it was just time to part ways. So, you know, at least, hey, they pick up a guy that has at least a track record of being stable. And for a lot of NFL teams, I think they would take that.
If you're Kirk Cousins' agent, Matt, who are you calling? Are you calling the Vikings? Are you calling the Jaguars? Are you calling the Browns?
For me, honestly, I think the Browns is a great landing spot just because, you know, you're getting a whole year of Josh Gordon. You know, Corey Coleman was banged up last year, but he'll be healthy. David Njoku, I think, is going to be a breakout tight end. And with those, number one and number five picks, I see Saquon Barkley being one of those guys. And, you know, you have those four guys on the offensive side with Kirk Cousins and a pretty good offensive line. And a defense, I think, that's improving. It's actually a great landing spot if you want to be a guy that comes in. And think if Kirk Cousins turns around the Browns. I mean, he'll be a hero in Cleveland. I guess it's better than being a hero nowhere. But, I mean, Cleveland, I think, is a good spot for him. But Minnesota, Denver, Jacksonville seem like the likely spots, teams that are kind of built already to be a Super Bowl contender, where if you had that quarterback, kind of puts them over the top. I think he ends up in Denver.
Steve, has Matt already started his Super Bowl adult beverages, saying that Cleveland is a good landing spot?
You know, it took everything I had not to just bust out laughing when he said that Kirk Cousins could turn Cleveland around. Matt, you need to lay off the sauce. It's early in the morning, buddy. You know, it's going to take a whole lot more than Kirk Cousins. It's going to take a whole lot more than Kirk Cousins to turn Cleveland around. It's where quarterbacks go to die. You know, I've got the Jets on my list as a spot for Cousins to go. You know, but Matt already mentioned Denver as well. I think Denver could be a really likely spot. And if not Denver, we could also look out for Buffalo. I think Buffalo has a real good shot to be, you know, they're really not happy with,
Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know if Nathan Peterman is in their long-term future or not. He was a little serviceable into the season for them. But, you know, I just Cousins, he's got a lot of options at this point, and I think he could probably pick and choose where he wanted to go.
You saying that Kirk Cousins is a better option than bringing back J.P. Lossman? Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on.
No, Nathan Peterman is the new J.P. Lossman.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. Nathan Peterman. Hey,
the thing with Cleveland, though, real quick, is that look how many close games they played last year, and look how many bad plays Kaiser seemed to make in some of those games. I think Cleveland they're not far. It sounds idiotic for a team that went 0-16 to say they're not far away, but with a good quarterback, they're not far away.
All right. I will.
They've had more starting quarterbacks over the past 15 years than they have wins.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. All righty. So I got a couple more Super Bowl questions here real quick before we let you get out of here. Steve, one, where's OJ going to watch the Super Bowl?
Wherever OJ's at, I guess. You know, I haven't been following the where's OJ trail. You know, I hope he can keep himself out of trouble, keep his head low, stay away from the media, because that's probably the best thing for him. But, you know, hey, hopefully he can find some friends to watch it with and enjoy it.
I was hoping I was going to run into him, Matt, out here, but I don't think he's coming to 9:30 in the morning to watch hockey.
That's a Stanley Cup preview right there. OJ should come out. Do they let him in the major properties, or does he have to find a off the strip spot?
I don't know. He went to – he had like a public appearance at the Buffalo game, at their playoff game at the local restaurant. But, yeah, he's laid pretty low. But I just wondered if he was going to make an appearance. And also, too, one of my favorite props – Matt, what color will Bill Belichick's shirt be at kickoff? We've got blue at 2-3, gray at 7-5, red and white both at 9-1.
They're wearing the whites, and when they wear the whites, I think he usually wears the blue. So yeah, I think blue should be a big favorite.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the blue. It's either going to be the blue or the gray. But, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, is he going to have him a cutoff hoodie on? You know, the game is in Minnesota. It's going to be really cold, but they are domed up there. So it's going to be nice and temperature controlled. So, you know, I'm going to go with the gray.
Go with the gray, 7-5. All right, Matt, final prediction, Super Bowl.
I want to see a close game. In my heart, I'm obviously pulling for the Eagles, but in my head, I think New England just has a little too much. I'm saying 28-21. Patriots.
All right, Matt going Patriots and the cover. Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go 27-24. Brady has to lead a last-minute touchdown drive for the Patriots to win.
All right. We will see if you guys are right. Steve, always great talking to you. Enjoy your day tomorrow. I know Super Bowl Sunday is your Super Bowl Sunday.
Absolutely. Have a great one, guys.
All right. Talk to you later, Steve. When we come back, Matt and I are going to talk about old Blake Griffin and the travels that he's on, some other stuff in the NBA. Stick with us. Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show, Saturday morning here in Las Vegas, NBC Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton here. Matt Reed out in Oakland, California. And Matt, you still there with me? Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Fantastic. I thought you had gone the way of Blake Griffin and were no longer in California.
No, they can't ship me out that easily.
Yeah, poor Blake Griffin, huh? What do you think about that? Big contract, Clipper for life, banner going up in the Staples Center instead of the championship banner. It's going to be the old 32 retired, and then half a season through off to Detroit.
Yes, yes. I feel bad for Griffin just because I think he had options over the offseason and he decided to stay in L.A. and this is going to be, you know, his team now with Chris Paul gone and this is a chance for them to establish something. I think Jerry West has been around long enough now to see what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, Blake Griffin's been hurt again this year. He gets hurt every year. They're not going to win with the team they have together now. They couldn't win with this team with Chris Paul, so they're not going to win the way they are now. So, you know, it's a complete overhaul. And, yeah, you know, they're able to get rid of – I mean, Doc Rivers signed him to a huge contract, and now they're able to get that money off the books, send it over to Detroit, end up with a first-round draft pick as compensation. And, you know, unfortunately for Clipper fans, and you're in a total rebuild, but with Jerry West, I think you can rebuild faster than a lot of other teams, because the Warriors at one point were in a complete rebuild, and we saw how that's ended up.
What does this say to other potential free agents, the way that this played out with Blake Griffin, that promises were made and then they were not kept? And you also think not just about Blake Griffin, but think about Milos Teodosic, who's taken less money coming over from Europe, could have stayed there, made a lot more, been happier, comes over here for a team that he thought might be competitive, and now they're selling it off.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make it, ideal to know that, you have to think about that in the back of your mind. But, A, it's L.A., which is pretty desirable for a lot of reasons, including the weather, which, you can't beat this time of the year. But also, if you are going to be a star, being in a major city with endorsements and whatnot, I don't think that's going to scare anyone away. Jerry West, I think, is respected around the league more than probably any other personnel guy out there, so I think that's still going to draw free agents in. And really, I mean, I think this just is the beginning of the end of Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers was GM, coach, and he's had his time there, and I don't see Doc Rivers being back after next year.
As the Clippers look forward, they have to think about not just how they're going to rebuild, but are they going to do it with any of the pieces that they still have? They've got DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams, and
both gone.
Right. So now, but my question being, if they're both gone, some rumors resurfacing about how the Clippers are in play for LeBron James next year, that LeBron James may want to go to the Clippers instead of the Lakers, and if he's going to go to the Clippers, you're going to want Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you would. In all reality. But the way a Clippers contract's set up, I don't think they're on the hook for much of anything next year. So this would be a total rebuild where you could still bring in maybe two max contracts and another star where, what you have there with Lou Williams and DeAndre, if you were to add LeBron to it, are they good enough to win the West? No. So it makes sense trying to get some draft picks for these guys right now, what you can get. And then if you are able to lure a guy like LeBron in, you can probably bring in another max guy. You tell him, look, we're willing to work with you. Let's work on this roster together. You got draft picks. We can make some moves. So it never hurts to stockpile draft picks, especially if you can get number ones. And I think, DeAndre and Lou, especially the way Lou's been playing, I think you can command number ones for them right now.
Where do you think Lou Williams is a perfect fit?
He's really a perfect fit anywhere, because he is in instant offense. Really, I think probably a team in the East, just because I don't see the Warriors getting beat. I mean, Lou Williams would be good. I would say like Miami needs that kind of score if they want to compete. Or if back in Toronto, even though you got DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they had that dynamic with Lou Williams off the bench and he was still instant offense. I think he's a guy that you have in there in the second quarter and early in the fourth quarter that Toronto's kind of been missing in the playoffs. I think he could put them over the top because that's the one team I'd say right now in the East that has always been a disappointment, but they're knocking on the door where this year might be the turnaround year.
All I know is if Lou Williams went to South Beach, watch out, Miami club scene. How good would that be? But I'm with you there. There's a part of me that thinks that him going to a place like Toronto would be great because I don't even really want to see the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to see Boston against Toronto.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great match. Yeah, the Cavs are a mess, and the way things are going, I don't know if we'll see them there. So, yeah, Boston, Toronto, I think it would be a fantastic, hopefully 7-game series.
And I feel like even a team like Indiana could just give somebody fits, and they may not win the whole thing, but I think Indiana's going to be a fun playoff team.
They are, especially the way Oladipo's played this year. And if they could get Miles Turner to stay healthy, he's been another guy in and out of the lineup. When they have all their pieces working, Sabonis has played really well for them this year. Collison's been solid. Yeah, you're right. They're a team that's going to give people fits.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Hopefully, Stefan will be back with us pretty soon. We can start breaking down some of these teams in the NBA as we get ready to go into the All-Star weekend and then the push for the playoffs. When we come back, Matt and I are going to be joined by Jeff Klein. Talk a little bit of baseball. Interesting article out this week. We're going to break it down right here on the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough? The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvaprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here, along with Matt Reed out in Oakland, California. We're going to head down the freeway to L.A. Welcome in Jeff Klein. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Clayton and Matt. How you doing?
Doing good. You know, just talking a little Super Bowl, a little NBA. Time for a little Major League Baseball. I wanted to talk about an article that was on ESPN this week by Bradford Doolittle. And he was contemplating with the folks going into the Hall of Fame, Chipper Jones and Trevor Hoffman, Vlad Guerrero, Jim Tomei, about who the greatest player in each franchise was. And sometimes that's easy to figure out. A guy like Ted Williams is still the face of the franchise when it comes to the Boston Red Sox. Or when you say Philadelphia Phillies, it's Mike Schmidt. Some of them are a little harder to define. And his question, Jeff, was, are there any greatest players in the history of a franchise that are currently playing for their franchise right now?
Yeah, it was a great article. A lot to think about. Before we get into the details of the article, my one sort of objection is, a lot of it is, so he does a couple of things. One, he tries to use WAR, wins above replacement, for listeners who aren't familiar with that stat. And that tries to encapsulate sort of how many wins that player added to their team. And I always have a little bit of an issue using WAR sort of in an isolated environment, because the way it's been calculated, there's not a lot of agreement on, and the stats that it emphasizes, I think when you look at different eras of baseball, some strategy or some statistics were emphasized a little more. And, just looking at the Angels, just to give you an example
Before we get to that, Jeff, let's really kind of define that. Like, how do you quantify it before we get into what his decisions were?
Yeah, so, if we're talking about face of franchise, face of franchise and best player are two different things for me, right? So, Jackie Robinson is not the best player in the history of the Dodgers. He's obviously the face of the Dodgers. And actually, the article does mention actually that example. So, if we're looking at best player, then sometimes that's not even, something that's easy to define. You have to look at the relative era that they played in. Are we looking at best as individual performance or how they elevated their team and brought them championships? So I think, for me, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. I think if you're looking at best player, I think most people and I would agree, you want to look at pure statistics. As far as sort of their impact on a franchise, I take in statistics plus sort of their place or their tenure with that organization. A lot of the players selected didn't spend their whole career with that franchise. So I would take into account, how much was the impact, how many years, and so forth. And that's why it makes for a great debate, because, the three of us on the phone, on the show today, will all have different opinions about some of these players.
Right. Before we get into it, Matt, how do you quantify face of a franchise?
For me, face of a franchise is the girls I work with know zero about sports, yet they know who Steph Curry is because he's the face of the franchise. So in whatever given city you live in, the people that don't follow sports that still know who the guy is, that's how I consider a face of the franchise.
All right, so let's look at some of these that he's determined the best player in the history of that franchise currently playing. We will start with the Angels and Mike Trout, Jeff.
Yeah, you can make an argument for Trout. He's a great player, and you expect him to continue. And if, let's say, Trout's career, hopefully this does not happen, but let's say Trout's career ended after the season, or maybe he left the Angels and he went somewhere else and he went on to have a long career. That aside, you try to project what Trout means to the Angels organization. You could probably make an argument for that, because the Angels don't have they're not steeped in a lot of great, legendary players. I did want to bring up my example with the Angels about war. So, you know, we all know Vladimir Guerrero is going into the Hall of Fame. He spent 6 years with the Angels. He has a 22 war, and this is mentioned in the article. And you can go on Baseball Reference and look that up. Well, Sean Figgins, we all remember Sean Figgins, spent 8 years with the Angels and also has a 22 war. So if you're looking at how much, if you're trying to use war, which the article used a lot, to really define how great that player is, I think this is a perfect example of, we all know Vladimir Guerrero's 6 years with the Angels was way better, way more impactful than Sean Figgins' 8 years with the Angels. It's kind of my issue with war. It's a good narrative, but I think you really can't stop that war.
So is Mike Trout the greatest Angel ever?
No. It's hard to say. I'm going to say yes. I'll go with that. He's currently looks like he's going to be the greatest franchise player ever.
All right, let's move on to the Cubs, Matt. Chris Bryant, for real? Ernie Banks, no? Chris Bryant?
I mean, this is taking the narrative of possibilities where, again, you know, he has to be there for 10 years to be better than Ryan Sandberger or Ernie Banks. I mean, that's when you think of the Cubs, those are two guys that come to mind right away. Chris Bryant has the ability, if he stays there and continues on the trajectory he's on, to possibly be the best Cub ever. But see, now we're getting into, especially with some of these younger guys, I mean, it's really stretching it to put a guy who's had a long career, the established career, and put him up against a guy that's been in the league for 2 or 3 years and really see, you know, where they're at. But Chris Bryant's a fantastic player. I wouldn't call him the face of the franchise yet or the greatest player in the franchise.
Ron Santo? Come on. How about the Dodgers, Matt? Clayton Kershaw.
We're talking a lot of tradition with the Dodgers. Kershaw, he's been there 10 years. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but he's fantastic. And then if he can stay healthy this season and re-signs with the Dodgers and really is a dominant pitcher for the next 4 or 5 seasons, I mean, are we saying that he's better than Sandy Koufax? Maybe not, but he's still on the same level. And I mean, a team like the Dodgers, you can name, you know, Jackie Robinson, you know, Pee Wee Reese, you know, Don Drysdale. You can go up and down the list. But Kershaw deserves to be talked to in the same breath as those players.
And you're going to have a lot of people, Jeff, they're going to say Kershaw not as good as Sandy Koufax, not as popular as Fernando Valenzuela.
Yeah, I think statistically, when you look at what they've done in the regular season, I think Kershaw is in the area of Sandy Koufax. You know, let's remember, Koufax actually didn't pitch for that long, and he actually didn't. Every year, all his seasons weren't dominant seasons. He had a period where he was just unbelievably dominated, and then his career was shortened due to prolonged health concerns and some injury issues. Obviously, for a lot of other reasons, as I mentioned at the beginning, Jackie Robinson's the face of the Dodgers, but I think Kershaw is that's a good argument. I mean, you could say Kershaw, he is the best pitcher of his era right now. But I think to feel a lot better about facing the franchise, he probably needs to win at least one World Series.
Cincinnati Reds, Big Red Machine, Pete Rose, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, Tony Perez, Dave Concepcion, goes with Joey Votto.
Yeah, it's obviously Pete Rose. And this was my other issue with the argument, and Matt mentioned it with Chris Bryant. You're trying to project how the player will impact in the future. But let's remember, Votto is 34 years old. So he's still pretty far down the list, even if using war. I don't think he's going to catch Pete Rose. It's Pete Rose. He's the face of the Reds.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument, I guess, that Pete Rose played for the Phillies, too. So if we're just going to say a guy that's been with one team, maybe that's the argument you make. But then for the Angels, we have to say Tim Salmon is the best Angel of all time. So, yeah, it's kind of – Votto's great, no doubt, but to put him in the same category with Johnny Bench and Pete Rose doesn't make sense to me.
What about the Arizona Diamondbacks, Paul Goldschmidt? Not – Randy Johnson, not Curt Schilling, not Luis Gonzalez.
Randy Johnson, I think you can make an argument because he had some great years with the Mariners. So if you don't want to give that to the Diamondbacks, I mean, Goldschmidt, if he sticks with the Diamondbacks, if he re-signs and he becomes a long-term player with them, I love Paul Goldschmidt. He's one of, even though he plays for the Diamondbacks, I think he's one of my favorite players to watch and one of the best players in the game. And I think as good as he is, I still think he's a little underrated. He gets overlooked quite a bit. But, I mean, Luis Gonzalez, Clayton, I know Luis Gonzalez is a very painful memory for you, and I think that just says a lot about how much he means to the Diamondbacks organization.
What about another new team, newer, you know, when you don't think about it not being 100 years old, Matt? Colorado Rockies says Nolan Arenado, not Todd Helton, not Larry Walker.
Not Dante Bichette. Arenado, see, this is, again, we're projecting that if he stays with Colorado his whole career, he will be better than all three of those guys. I'd say Arenado is on the trajectory to be a Hall of Famer if he stays the way he's going. But, again, I mean, he has to put in 10 more years of what Larry Walker did. Like you said, Todd Helton should be that guy. I mean, Todd Helton's a Hall of Famer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, And he's the face of that franchise now. I think everyone knows Todd Helton. So, yeah, exactly. I think we're trying to project the future. If we're just talking about today, it's Todd Helton. But in 10 years, maybe we talk about Arenado. But, again, I think it's so hard to project guys staying with the same team. And in this day and age, especially, you know, with free agency the way it is, I don't think guys really stay with their teams that long. So, project another 10 years out of Arenado, I think, you know, is asking a lot.
Well, a guy that we don't have to project because he has the body of work and he is older is Texas Rangers Adrian Beltre, Jeff.
Beltre, for me, is the face of the Rangers. He has had some great years. You know, you look back, I was looking at Beltre's stats and you realize how long he's played. And I remember him back to the Dodgers and then he went to the Mariners. But he spent a good portion of the year with the Rangers and he's had such a phenomenal career, and I think he's the face. If not, it maybe it's Pudge, but Pudge had some great years when he went to the Tigers. So, for me, I think Adrian Beltre is definitely the face for the Rangers.
Even more so, Matt, than Nolan Ryan?
Yeah, that's a funny argument with Ryan, because I was looking with the Astros, they had Jeff Bagwell as the face of the franchise. You know, Bagwell, Biggio, I think they were 1-2 right there. But then when I think Houston right away, I think Nolan Ryan. Even though, yeah, you know, he played with both the Rangers and the Astros. But, yeah, Beltre, you know, I remember him as a Dodger from when he first started out, and I remember some big years he had in Seattle, but, I mean, I think the bulk of his career has been in Texas, and, you know, a guy that I think, you know, doesn't get as much credit as he deserves for being as great as he became, because early on I did not see him turn out to be the player that he became.
Looking down on this list of some of the other ones, he does go through all of the franchises, even the ones that don't have their best player playing right now. Matt, can you believe he made Ricky Henderson an A, not a Mariner? Come on.
Yeah, Ricky being Ricky. Well, that's where he swiped all the bags up.
That's
here.
Right.
Swiped most of the bags up here, right?
That's right. I say that and I kid about old 9-team Ricky Henderson. Yeah, which was a better time for you, Ricky Henderson as a Met, as an Angel, or as a Mariner?
Ooh, Ricky is a Mariner.
And so that is kind of the most forgettable, right, of all the 9 teams?
Yeah. I think the last 5 years of Ricky's career were pretty forgettable. I want to say, didn't he play for the Dodgers?
Yeah, he played for the Dodgers as well. Yankees, and he was all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, Clayton, I just want a point of clarification. Are there any years of Ricky Henderson that are truly forgettable?
That's true. No, there are. There are none. Ricky being Ricky was fantastic. You know, one of the things that I do like about this, and maybe you guys can settle this for our buddy here, Bradford Doolittle. When it comes to the Miami Marlins, he says, Jeff, they have 0 faces of the franchise. Nobody.
No, I mean, Jeff Conine, Mr. Marlin, right? They have
the Florida Marlins.
Maybe they don't have a deep tradition, but
yeah, that is true. That's the Florida Marlins.
Well, it's a franchise.
Miami, yeah, they got I guess Giancarlo Stanton, right? Who's no longer No longer there.
Let me ask you a question, because I was reading through this, and I feel like this is the type of article that needs to be free from sort of current events and current whims, and saying the Marlins have no face of the franchise, that's obviously a knock against what's going on there in Miami with the kind of the teardown of that team. And then I felt like the Barry Bonds argument was sort of a knock against him with TDs, and I think you really need to look at all these players in their era that they played in. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my only thought is that when you go to the Giants and your choices are Barry Bonds and Willie Mays, I mean, it's Willie Mays. Like, Willie Mays is, like, a top five of all time.
Yeah.
And so, even though you could say, well, Barry Bonds should be with his numbers, but that all goes into the factor of popularity and who moves the needle, and it's Willie Mays, not Barry Bonds. I mean, to this day, if Willie Mays and Barry Bonds walk in a room together, everybody wants to talk to Willie Mays.
And right, for a lot of different reasons, not just playing.
Right, exactly. And that goes to the face of the franchise versus best pure talent. But always fun to look at lists and articles like that. Jeff, you got time for a little Q&A?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, when we come back, it is Q&A time. Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. It's Q&A time. Remember, if you would like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@joefanshow.com or tweet us at Joe Fan Show or tweet me directly at Clayton_JoeFan, like Brady in Summerlin, who asked, Matt, would you rather be the LA Kings or the New York Rangers? #outsideLookingIn.
Damn, the LA Kings, weren't the LA Kings ahead of the Golden Knights about 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm. And then they went 2-7.
Woo. Talk about a slide. I think they're better. They're better than that. And obviously, we saw early on in the season. I think, you know, having Jonathan Quick, I would still rather be the Kings. But if this doesn't turn around soon, then they're in big trouble.
I'm going to go with the Kings also. They had their bad period, as you mentioned. They went 2-7, but the Rangers are currently really trending in the wrong direction. They lost 7 of their last 10, and it doesn't look like they're going to be pulling out of that anytime soon. So I'd stick with the Kings. I think they're chasing a wild card. I think they have a better shot.
I think that I would rather play for the Rangers, but the Kings probably have a better shot to sneak into the playoffs, and it'll be more dangerous if they can get there. So, yeah, I'd rather bury the Kings as a Golden Knife. I'd rather bury them right now. Don't even let them into the dance, because they can cause problems, especially when Jonathan Quick comes back. He's been has some nagging injuries, and if he gets going, look out west. Art in Summerlin asks, did Virginia's win over Duke do enough to convince you that they are a legit Final Four team? #Who's?
Yeah, big win for Virginia. You know, to go on the road and beat Duke. They have what it takes. They play defense. They have senior guards, and they make free throws. And that's a recipe for going a long way in the tournament. So yeah, they're definitely legit.
Yeah, it looks like Matt and I are 2-for-2 so far. I agree. They're definitely legit. They've been blowing out, convincing victories. They only had one loss this year, and so they've beaten some good opponents. I think so.
I think Virginia's not a legit Final Four team, and it's because they can only win one way. Like you said, Matt, they're a defensive team, but if they have to win in a different way than that, I think they're like West Virginia. They're in trouble because they only do one thing, although they do one thing really well. What event are you most looking forward to watching at the Olympics? #GoForGold.
Oh, absolutely. Bobsled. Two-man and four-man. Evan Weinstock.
Yes.
USA. All the way.
Yes.
I'm going to go figure skating. I love figure skating. I think I'd probably go hockey if we had a pros playing. But since we don't have pros, I'm going figure skating. Some exciting new figure skaters on the scene for the U.S.
That's right. Mirai Nagasu making her triumphant return to the Olympics after missing out on Sochi. So that's an event to keep on. I'm with you, Matt. Evan Weinstock in the number one sled. It came out. It is official. He is going to be with Cody Baskew in sled number one. And he's also going to be in sled number one in the two-man with top two-man driver Justin Olsen, Matt.
Yeah, it's awesome. He's worked his butt off to get where he's at. And, you know, it's great having him on the show. It's great to have a hometown guy, someone to root for. So, Yeah, let's hope they bring home a medal. Make it gold, too.
That's right. If you want to keep up with all the Olympic action, starting on Monday at JoeFanShow.com, also on the Facebook page and on Twitter, we're going to be sending out the top 25 events not to miss, 5 each day starting Monday. Jeff and I are finishing those up, so keep an eye out for that. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. For Steve Clark, for Matt Reed, and Jeff Klein, this has been Clayton Hamilton. Enjoy the games, enjoy the Super Bowl, and go Knights, go.